thinking goes, history repeats itself. But in one case, this time around, the media and most all-inclusive, all-knowing liberals don't give a rip. I'm referring to the massive slaughtering, raping, burning, and mutilation of Christians throughout northern Africa and the Middle East. Not long ago, one thug here in the United States died after starting a fight he just couldn't finish. And for certain reasons, the incurably ignorant masses were worked up into a politically correct lather. Yet when one expects to see at least a modicum of media coverage about the Christian Holocaust being perpetrated by Muslims dutifully following the instructions in their little Quran to kill Christians, Jews, blacks, or anyone else. Also, while many U.S. black politicians still lament about the effects of racism and past slavery in America, they are silent about the current real campaign of hatred, murder, and slavery against black Christians throughout the Middle East. I understand that liberals talk about man's brutality to mankind, but it's who that is being brutalized that dictates whether or not they care about those being victimized by Islamic bigots. Elsewhere on today's page from the Edwards Notebook, things are not looking particularly well for Pastor Saeed Abedini. According to Jordan Sekulow of American Center for Law and Justice, he says that Pastor Abedini may not even survive the 8-year sentence heaped upon him by the Iranian regime that imprisoned him for daring to believe in Jesus Christ and telling folks about it in Iran. It didn't help that the jailed and tortured minister, though born in the Middle East, is pro-American and has a wife and children waiting for him in this nation. Unfortunately, the White House occupier is not too inclined to speak up for tortured Christians. Besides, thanks to his policies and squandering of American power, enemies like Iran wouldn't pay Obama any attention if he did ask for or tried to demand Pastor Abedini's release. And the beat goes on. I'm Ron Edwards.
Blowing away the myths and revealing the truth. You can continue to blow away the myths with Ron Edwards on Facebook, Twitter, and TheRonEdwards.com.
Keenly aware of the similarity between tactical and competitive training, the Shooter's Source fuses the two worlds together. Their product line is based on speed of movement, and the Shooter's Source caters to both the three-gun competitor and the tactical operator. The Shooter's Source specializes in the cutting-edge tools for any shooter of any discipline. See them on the range or online. Find out how at theshootersource.com. The Shooter's Source, one philosophy encompassing all.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Salient Arms International. Salient Arms takes your weapons platform and refines the most important functioning features, enhancing your weapon's reliability. An SAI enhanced platform is the epitome of excellence and will dominate competition, self-defense, or combat. Visually striking and engineered to its fullest potential, discover the SAI commitment to excellence. To find out more, go to SalientArmsInternational.com. Salient Arms International. Innovation Cube.
Do you have a product or service that you'd like to advertise on the Republic Broadcasting Network? Do you want to support one of the original truth radio networks in existence while getting your company heard across the globe? Right now, RBN is having a holiday special on all of our advertising packages and providing free commercial production to get you started. Call 800-724-2719, extension 111 today. That's 800-724-2719, extension 111, or email powers@republicbroadcasting.org.
Recognizing that America's most valuable resource is in their care, PNW Arms has forever changed the face of weapons science. Relentlessly pursuing research and development, PNW Arms is driven by exactitude. They have applied their collaborative skills, advancing ballistic science to a degree unimagined, both in existing ammunition potential and in creations yet to come. To find out more, go to pnwarms.com. At PNW Arms, their mission is nothing less than to change the face of the shooting industry forever.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed.
Shall not be infringed. From the nation's Second Amendment watchdog, anti-gunners, get ready for the pain. The misinformation is over because this is the blunt object. From Gun Owners of America, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady. Bill Frady.
As we go into the second hour on a Monday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. the grammar, the phonics, I'm just having trouble with them. If you live in Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Florida, Colorado, or Texas, you are one up on me. Because if you're carrying a gun, as I hope you are, and you carry one with the intent of defending yourself if you need it, you have access to Texas/U.S. Law Shield. And joining me again, from somewhere deep in the heart of Texas, is, I know Michelle is there, is Edwin somewhere there too?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Do you have Michelle place a call? Because they always tell me Michelle's there, and you're just sort of sitting back and nursing that cup of coffee, aren't you, Edwin?
Nope, that's me.
Okay. So when we were talking last week, one thing that we hinted around was methods of carry. And that gave me an idea, which I never called you guys and told you about. But with your members, like if somebody joins, say, from Pennsylvania, and you're aware of the little minor nuances that happen in Pennsylvania, is part of the education that you give them, do you tell your new members and remind them whenever you communicate with them that it is a really good idea to really follow the law to the letter as best they can in the municipality in which they carry?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why when somebody becomes a member, they get a new member guide, which is chock full of information. And then they also get a little booklet that spells out the laws in that state. And we try to put it in English. So it's not in this legalese that you have to decipher, but as a part of signing up and becoming a member, you get these educational materials right off the bat. And then, of course, our website has tons of information. And then we're always available to call. I can't tell you how many phone calls we've gotten over the Sneaky Pete holster. And here in Texas, you have to have your firearm concealed at all times. In Pennsylvania, you can actually openly carry. So here in Texas, we've had many people call with concerns about the Sneaky Pete holster and whether it really is concealed if your gun's in it, because it kind of looks like a cell phone case. But yeah, we want to be not only the people you go to for legal questions, but also practical advice in your manner of carry.
The Sneaky Pete holster, now, when that came out, that was before the advent of the phablet phone, you know, the what do they call it? The Samsung Note.
Correct.
Which, holding a note to the side of your head, if depending on what size your cranium is, if you pull up beside somebody talking on a note, you may not be. They may look headless. So, with the advent of this bigger phone, is the Sneaky Pete holster actually beginning to become viable?
I think so. I know several people that carry those tablet phones on their hips, and you don't look twice at them anymore because you know it's just, or you assume it's a tablet for the non-gun carrying people of the world will probably just think it's your tablet. And then for people with keen eyes like myself, I'm like, that's a sneaky peek.
How often do you tell your members to do, typically when I'm around law enforcement? Now, I know plenty of law enforcement, and if I'm talking to them, I will tell them, hey, permit, gun. And most of the time, they're like, cool. But when you're, like, say you're going into a Walmart, for example, you're going into a Walmart, and you see law enforcement there, you're following the law, everything else. It's sort of like when law enforcement gets behind you when you're driving down the road. Do you have members saying, do we really need to mind our P's and Q's and not let our jacket hide up or our shirt show our gun or not print? Is that a concern?
Well, a lot of people seem to think it is, but I have not, in our practical experience, we haven't really seen that become an issue. With regard to the police, you only, here in Texas and in several other states, many states have similar laws, that it's only whenever you're approached by the police officer that you have to disclose that you have a concealed handgun. And in fact, some officer, you never know how different police are going to react. But heck, it's not out of the realm of possibility that, that telling a police, going up unsolicited to a police officer and telling them you have a gun may be viewed as some sort of threat or warning or something else. And so, I wouldn't recommend that. But the thing about it is that seeing a gun, we out of our thousands and thousands and thousands of members across the state, we've never actually been called with that specific issue. People who get in trouble for their guns being seen, they wanted their guns to be seen. I've never had anybody call, hey, I was reaching up for a can of peas and somebody saw my gun and they freaked out. Well, I guess we did have one incident. He wasn't arrested. He was kind of hassled, and it was a guy who had taken his daughter to school, and his jacket blew up and exposed his holstered concealed gun. A teacher freaked out, called the campus cops, and the campus cops tracked him down at his house the next day and did not arrest him but told him that it was against the law for him to have it on school, which was not a correct recitation of the law, so he only called us not to report that the police approaching, but asked to confirm that it was, in fact, legal to carry a concealed handgun on the parking lots and sidewalks of a school, which here in Texas it is legal to do by a concealed handgun license holder.
Just had another open carrier get picked up in Texas that made the news. Did you guys see that?
Are you talking about the gentleman, I believe it's in Central Texas, Andrews, I think it is?
Yeah, the one, I mean, he was out on the street. I think he was walking past a church or something, but I mean, all kinds of people showed video of him walking away. I don't know why they, I know that there's people out there that are afraid to see that kind of thing, but how do you get arrested for doing something that's legal? Before you finish that up, I just want to know if you were aware of it. I've got another instance I want to ask you about before we're coming up on the first break, so I don't want to cut you off in mid-explanation, because invariably everything gets lost in the translation between the breaks. Anyway. We got about a minute before the break. Like I said, if you live in Pennsylvania, if you live in Florida, if you live in Oklahoma, if you live in Colorado, if you live in Texas, if you listen to the show and you live in those states, you will go online or call them and use promo code BILLRADIO1. It's already, compared to a legal defense that you might have to face in the event that you get in trouble for having a gun, showing a gun, using a gun in self-defense, it is nothing. That's two lattes a week for you Starbucks people. It costs you two lattes a week to be completely covered, to have attorney-client privilege immediately after the event. with Texas Law Shield. You can find them at TexasLawShield.com and at USLawShield.com. Is that right, Michelle? Michelle is nowhere. Is that right, Edwin?
That's right. You got it.
Okay. All right. Michelle is the voice, by the way, that you hear on the spot. She does have plans later on to knock me completely out of the voiceover thing, because they'll be looking for a female voice, and they'll be like, who's that lady in your Texas Law Shield thing? All right, folks, you hang on. We'll be right back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load.
Coming from Blue Force Gear, the same thing they did with weapon slings. Blue Force Gear has revolutionized the Molly Load carriage with the Helium Whisper attachment system. Pouches built with Helium Whisper technology are fully Molly compatible and are lighter, thinner, and more durable than current issue equivalents. Lighter gear enables you to move faster with less bulk, ensuring that you will survive to fight another day. Find ultralight gear with the revolutionary Helium Whisper attachment system at blueforcegear.com.
Hi, I'm with Keller Williams Realty. I'm in your neighborhood to see if you have any real estate needs.
Maybe. What would you do as a realtor to market my home?
Well, my skills are in knowing the market, listing your home for the best price possible, negotiating on your behalf, advertising your home, and helping to defend your castle.
Defend my castle?
That's right. In Texas, it's called the Castle Law, and a portion of my commission will go to Gun Owners of America as a charitable cause to help secure our freedoms.
Really? That does make you different from other realtors.
It's about time people make a stand for what they believe in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I do. And I'd be glad if you helped me sell this home. And my friends will be, too.
Here's my business card for your friends. They can call me at 877-605-9200 and ask for Sandra. Oh, and if they're not in Texas, I can still refer them to a great Keller Williams agent where they live. They just need to call 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Now, more pounding from the blunt object.
And welcome back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. My guests this hour from Texas Law Shield, U.S. Law Shield, are Edwin and Michelle. Talking about you and the law, and you carrying a gun, and you using a gun in self-defense, and all that other stuff. And the law. Guys, a while back, like back in the 90s, I was on my way to work early in the morning, and I used to drive a car that it wouldn't have mattered if I'd driven through a house. If you looked at it before me driving through the house, and then at it after I drive through the house, you'd be like, no difference. So the car itself was not the issue, but I came up, it was early in the morning, I mean like 2 a.m., and somebody was, as I drove by them, they started throwing things at my car. And then When I came to the stoplight, I was about 100 yards away from them. They got on the street and were running at me, yelling at me. I didn't really make out, but back then I carried something called I didn't carry it on me, but I had in the car, a Ruger P90, which is sort of like carrying a hammer. And where he could see it, there was enough light in the car, so I held it up and silhouetted it between the headrest so he could see it. Did I break the law?
Probably. Yeah, because in fact, that's where we get that has caused a great deal. Those particular types of situations have caused a great deal of confusion, of illegal activity, of unnecessary entanglements with the police. Because the thing about it is that whenever you're in an automobile, even though you don't have a legal duty to run from any place where you're able to be, you are in a steel enclosure. And so the DAs look at that as basically, in order to be absolutely safe before showing your gun while you're in an automobile, you better be able to articulate a specific reason as to why you felt an imminent fear of death or bodily injury, and that's the key. It has to be imminent. Or that the person was unlawfully attempting to get into your car or extract you from your car. So, if anybody, whether they're on foot, whether they're in another vehicle, if they are simply taunting you or threatening you with touching your vehicle or doing some sort of harm, that's probably not going to be good enough unless they have some sort of instrumentality that they can reach you from where they're at, i.e. a gun of their own. If they have no gun, if there's no evidence of a gun, you better be able to say, this guy was trying to get in my car, this guy was trying to break out a window, this guy was doing all kinds of things. You know, even something, you know, a lot of people say, well, what if they're trying to run you off the road or run you in the guardrail or something like that? Well, what you're going to have difficulty in doing is if there's no actual physical contact between the vehicles, how on earth are you going to be able to show or prove, other than your word, that the guy was trying to run you into the guardrail? So that's going to be, it's definitely an issue of proof. Unless you've captured it all on video, your best bet is to just simply not pull the gun and escape, you know, in your vehicle. You know, even if it means driving through a red light, obviously do it while it's safe. But until they're actually physically making contact with your vehicle and you can articulate they were trying to open my door, they were beating on the window with their fists, they had a gun themselves, they hit my car with a baseball bat, something like that. When you introduce the gun to the situation, you're the one who's at greater risk of being arrested, not them.
Let's go to the phones. Glenn in Philadelphia. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Bill, Edwin, and Michelle.
Good morning.
Morning, hi. Michelle sort of threw me a curve.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that conversation was not meant to be. Glenn, if you're still listening, try that again. Give us another call back. So, in essence, the reason I pulled the gun in that instance was because I was sitting at a red light. And back then, I drove for a living, so I had a commercial driver's license. And I didn't want to get anything bad on me, even though there was no other traffic. There was nobody in sight except me and this guy running up the street that had been throwing stuff at the car. So in order to not break one law, I broke another. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah, but the thing is that the law that you that you sort of got it backwards. You're allowed to, you're allowed to commit a Class C misdemeanor if it means that you don't have to commit a felony, not vice versa.
I didn't know you guys back then. I didn't have anybody to ask any questions at 2 a.m.
I know. Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, the state of the world today with, of course, with the rise in quote-unquote road rage incidents, Any time you introduce a gun to the situation, I would say 9 times out of 10, you're going to be the one that's going to be called the road rager, not the other guy. I mean, the other guy can be a complete jerk. He can follow you. He can scream obscenities at you. He can shoot the bird at you. He can get in front of you and stop short. He can even make the little wiggle moves towards you like he's going to try to hit you. And that still does not give you any justification for even showing the gun. And we've had several people who've done that. They're like, well, I didn't point it at him. Well, I didn't. All I did was move it out of my console and put it on my dash so they could see it. And, you know, even that will get you charged with anything from a felony aggravated assault to a misdemeanor failure to conceal.
And I have to say, just with going to court on this particular set of facts, there are more eyebrow raises from district attorneys with this one. I mean, they just, like Edwin said, they automatically, if you're the one that pulls the gun, you're automatically painted in the light of being the road rager. And these are the most, it's not that they're difficult to argue justification in these situations, but DAs have a hard time buying justification defenses when it comes to road rage situations, and they're definitely a challenge for us in court.
So I guess with road rage, you need to be swapping paint before somebody can claim self-defense.
Yeah, and you have to be doing it to such a degree that somebody running you into the guardrail, somebody bumping in your car, that's still, it's going to be very difficult to argue that puts you in fear of death or serious bodily injury. Unless you're high up in the mountains and you're on a one lane roadway and they're trying to run you over a cliff, obviously that puts you in fear of death or serious bodily injury. But if you're on a freeway and some guy's just trying to dent your fender, even that, it's going to be hard to argue. That's the thing about it, is you can't. You know, being in fear of your car being damaged is not enough. You have to be in fear of death or serious bodily injury, or that somebody is going to pull you out of your car, or they're going to try to break into your car while you are in it.
See, the car I was driving that particular night, if I had said to the officer, if it had escalated, and I had said to the officer, well, he was messing up my car. Later on, after the officer got off the ground from laughing at me for being concerned about messing up that car, I'm sure that I would have gotten the new set of bracelets and the new living accommodations as well. So I'm glad that didn't escalate, but I was a lot younger back in the 90s anyway. So you guys hang on. On the other side, we'll talk more about you, your weapon, self-defense, and the law with guys from Texas Law Shield on a Monday. This is Lock and Load.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aran. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aran process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Woo.
nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yeah, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Developed and made by U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers, Spartan Blades are the professional-grade combat utility knife. The preferred knives of those who go into harm's way, Spartan Blades endeavors to create knives that will last a lifetime and beyond. To find out more, go to SpartanBladesUSA.com. Whether you are a law enforcement professional, outdoorsman, or just appreciate craftsmanship and a cutting tool, Spartan Blades endeavors to make knives that will get the task done. Spartan Blades, knives with intent.
Hey, gun grabbers, do you feel the pain?
And welcome back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. My guests this hour from Texas / U.S. Law Shield are Edwin and Michelle. Guys, I'm being asked, are you planning on expanding into Arizona?
Yes, we are.
I would think that'd be quite fertile ground for you guys.
Yes, Arizona, very gun-friendly state. We definitely are looking at getting to Arizona very soon.
Is that one of the states that you will cover your members in if they travel to that state?
Yes, Arizona is part of the multi-state program.
So it's part of the multi-state program. You just haven't expanded yet to Arizona, because Border Bandit in the chat room is asking that. We got a couple of guys from your new estate stacking up, wanting to call in. Let's go back to Glenn in Philadelphia. He has called back. Okay, I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened either there, Bill. I had to crash my whole phone. I had to reboot my phone. But anyway, I think we're good now.
Okay.
Edwin and Michelle. Michelle sort of threw me a curveball a little earlier. As a Pennsylvanian, relatively undereducated in these matters, I sort of had like a general idea in my head, or conventional wisdom, I think that a lot of people hold, that in Pennsylvania, you know, for example, in the city, you can't carry because it's a gun-free zone. In the burbs, if you want to carry, you get your permit from your concealed carry permit from the sheriff's department to carry concealed, and that if you're going to be employed as like a armored car driver or an armed security guard to get your Act 235 cert, and then you can open carry when you're in uniform for work. That is apparently not utterly correct, because I just heard Michelle say something about carrying open in Pennsylvania.
Yes, that's, well, you live in Philadelphia specifically, correct?
Suburbs of Philly, northern suburbs of Philly, yeah.
Yeah, Philadelphia is a very, very unique situation. In fact, it's kind of surprising when we were looking through Pennsylvania law, that Philadelphia is officially designated by the legislature as a quote-unquote city of the first class, which means that the legislature has specifically designated everybody who lives outside of Philadelphia to be second-class citizens. We found that very strange. But cities of the first class, of which there's only one, Philadelphia, is allowed to make certain laws restricting the carrying of firearms that don't apply anywhere else in the entire state of Pennsylvania. So somebody with a permit, somebody with a license, Pennsylvania license, or a license recognized by Pennsylvania, can carry open or concealed pretty much anywhere outside the city of Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, a license holder has to be concealed, but the license holder still is allowed to carry in Philadelphia. And outside of Philadelphia, somebody without a license can carry open in many situations except in the city of Philadelphia.
Wow. All my life, I've never known anyone to open carry in this state. But that first class thing sounds like a bit of an overcompensatory thing, if you ask me. And especially odd when you consider it's the Quaker state and William Penn and the egalitarian nature of the Quakers. It's kind of odd to think that this first class, second class thing cropped up in Pennsylvania, you know. I've never known anyone to open carry in Tennessee without a Act 235. That's amazing.
That's the law as we read it, and we have a very, very good Pennsylvania lawyer. He's an excellent lawyer up there, obviously whenever we were exploring, researching Pennsylvania law, we conferenced with him many times, and while it may not be customary, it is legal, so...
That is amazing. Well, thanks very much. I'll have to look it up and do some due diligence on finding out what, instead of just going with some ideas I picked up from God knows who earlier in life, you know.
Are you a member of Texas Law Shield?
Not as yet. No, I don't have a concealed carry permit, but I'm thinking this is interesting. I need to press in on these matters.
Bill Radio 1. Just go to their website, give them a call. Bill Radio 1, Glenn. It'll get you a discount.
Yeah, and Pennsylvania, even though they do issue the firearms license through their sheriff's department, unlike most states do it through a central authority, like here in Texas with the Texas Department of Public Safety. There in Pennsylvania, it's localized with the sheriffs, but it's, upon reading the requirements, it seems like a fairly no-hassle process to get a Pennsylvania license.
Yeah, I've heard it's quite easy. They'll ask you, why do you want to carry, and then you just say for personal safety and security. They don't, require any, further justification, apparently.
Yeah, and also, if you are a non-resident, in fact, I'm thinking whenever I visit Pennsylvania, as a non-resident, if you already have a license issued by your particular state, apparently you just walk into any sheriff's department, show them your out-of-state license, and they'll give you a Pennsylvania license as well.
Huh. Wow, my goodness. Well, very good. Thanks for the education. I will delve into it more. Thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Anytime.
Let's go. Let's see. I think we can get him in and start talking to him before the break comes up. Let's go to Mark in Pennsylvania. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Edwin. As a new to firearms, personal firearms ownership, I take this very, very seriously. It's a paradox to me, it seems, that if I'm going to own a firearm, personally, how I take it is, if I'm going to own a firearm, I absolutely do not want to have to use it. But if that were to ever happen, I better damn well be sure that I know how to use it. And how to use it properly and in what instances and all of that. So I see that what you guys are offering is a very good thing as far as backup protection for a person in as part of the whole picture of firearms ownership. Now, but I would, being that I'm new to this, I may be asking some questions that are actually kind of maybe stupid, but actually they might be clarifying some things. So let me get this straight. In these states that are open carry, where open carry is legal, where they also require a concealed carry permit, if you do not properly conceal that firearm, in other words, somebody sees it under your shirt or in your backside or whatever, it prints, I guess you call it printing, then you can, they could come at you. The authorities could really get serious about that, and you could get in some serious trouble. Is that correct?
Well, the way it works, it depends on a state's basic philosophy. There are some states that believe, like Texas, that it is more dangerous to carry an open weapon, or is more alarming, as it were, to carry an open weapon than to carry a concealed weapon. Now, they don't like carrying concealed weapons either. That's why they developed the license program. However, most states say that it is, they have the belief that it is more dangerous for people to carry concealed weapons. Therefore, it's legal in many instances to carry an open weapon without a license. But if it becomes concealed or you wish to carry it concealed, at that point you would need a license. And so in those states where it is legal to carry open, they do not have this open, concealed issue like states like Texas do. Like Bill said earlier in the show, here in Texas, if your gun becomes unconcealed, if you're a CHL holder and your handgun becomes unconcealed, now you may have an issue with somebody going, oh my God, he's got a weapon, somebody call the police. But in a state that allows open carry as well as concealed carry, license holder, you know, you only have to be concerned that you're carrying a concealed handgun whenever you have a license and your failure to conceal doesn't become an issue. And so, yes, in Texas, you have to, if you're a license holder, you got to keep that gun fully concealed, not visible to anybody. You cannot intentionally display it. If it accidentally becomes displayed, that's not a crime, but you may be put in a position where you have to argue, oh my God, that was completely accidental, I didn't intend to do it. But in a state like Oklahoma, where they have licensed open carry, Arizona, where they have both open and concealed, Pennsylvania, where they have open without a license, concealed with a license, those issues are not present, because you won't get in trouble carrying one open, licensed or not, but you may get in trouble carrying one concealed, and you have to, so you have to have a license to conceal it. Now, for example, Louisiana has...
But before you go any further, hang on, remember that marketplace there, Edwin, we're coming up on the last break of the hour. Mark, you hang on as well so you can get your answer. When we open the next hour, I'm going to ask a question that would probably help anybody in one of these states. Just a clarity thing. Everybody hang on a Monday. This is Lock and Load.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity.
Call 800-300-1063 today.
Do you own a gun? The attorneys and members of Texas Law Shield see every day how law-abiding citizens can become the victims of an anti-gun culture and a legal system that is designed to produce convictions rather than seek justice. Texas Law Shield is a firearm single defense program dedicated to protecting legal gun owners. We offer comprehensive criminal and civil coverage with our 24/7 emergency hotline. Texas Law Shield completes your armed self-defense plan. To become a member, visit TexasLawShield.com.
Water filtration holiday specials from RBN. You can get a Royal Berkey made of polished stainless steel that holds 3.25 gallons and comes with two Black Berkey purification elements, one shower filter that'll do up to 20,000 gallons or typically last 1 year, and one Berkey sport bottle for the total price of $356, a $40 savings. We also have a Berkey Light, one shower filter and one sport bottle for the low price of $299, a $40 savings. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200 today.
Veteran-owned and operated, OpsGear is your one-stop destination for all of your tactical and training needs. At OpsGear, if they sell it, they have tested it, ensuring that whatever you choose, it is a proven product. Established in 2001, OpsGear ships worldwide and offers a wide range of products, training DVDs, and self-defense options at their new Salt Lake City location as well as online. Find them at OpsGear.com. You got the mission, we got the gear. OpsGear.
RBN is having the end-of-the-year pledge drive. To encourage listener support, for donations of $100 or more, you get an RBN coffee mug and a T-shirt. You can mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can donate online through PayPal or make a donation via phone by calling 800-724-2719. All donations are greatly appreciated and needed. Please make a donation today.
At Griffin Industries, the concept of good is never good enough. Combining extreme fit, function, and appearance, the Griffin Industries weapons and ammo carrying systems have taken the industry standard and turned it upside down. With an organic manufacturing process, Griffin Industries ensures tolerance and quality control with no equal. Flat rate shipping and rapid turnaround gets this superlative product in your hands and on your belt in no time. Visit GriffinIndustries.com. Griffin Industries, the 21st century solution.
War Sport introduces the LVOA AR. This highly anticipated rifle is the embodiment of the low visibility operation concept. Made and designed in the USA, the LVOA combines mil-spec and specially designed features, bringing a flat shooting, extremely durable AR from concept to reality. To find out more, go to LVOA.us. War Sport, making function and reliability on an extreme level. This is only the beginning.
Bill Frady, Bald and Dangerous.
And welcome back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. Before you go back to the question, guys, when somebody joins you anew, is there a resource that you make available to them to try to further their education in the state in which they carry their gun?
Oh, absolutely. We hand out booklets chock full of legal information. And then, of course, our website has the basic gun laws on it as well, that somebody can brush up on common questions that may regard the law. And then, of course, we are available to call any time with any specific questions, whether they're legal or whether they're just practical questions about carrying.
That probably has a little bit to do with how soon you get into a state, too, right, as far as becoming cognizant of all the nuances within that state pertaining to the law.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like Edwin said, Philadelphia being a first-class city as opposed to, you know, the rest of Pennsylvania being second-class citizens. It's little things like that that when we come across, we're like, oh, my gosh, we got to make sure we got this down perfect before we open.
Well, nobody ever asked the question why the Fresh Prince had to move to Bel Air out of Philadelphia if it was so first class. Anyway, back to Mark in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Louisiana open carry.
Well, yeah, I was just going to give an example of, because the caller earlier had asked about, you know, keeping the gun concealed, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just going to illustrate this as far as the point about the difference between open carrying and concealed carrying and the way the law kind of has weird has sort of weird nuances. In Louisiana, they have what's called constitutional carry, which says that you can carry, you know, as long as you're legal to possess a firearm, you can carry openly. It's against the law to carry concealed without a license. And there was actually a case that went all the way up to Louisiana's highest court because there were some police and there were some police officers and some district attorneys that were interpreting the cannot be concealed, the handgun cannot be concealed language, as saying that no part of the gun could be concealed, basically meaning that you couldn't, if, you know, you couldn't even carry it in a holster because obviously a holster conceals, you know, three quarters of the gun. And they actually had a case on that, and the Louisiana Supreme Court ruled that, you know, no, as long as any part of the gun was visible, it is not concealed. And so that's sort of, you know, whenever you get into these little kind of areas, you know, law enforcement is always, they always have the option of interpreting the way they want it to whenever, you know, it suits their purpose. So a lot of times whenever a state makes it only illegal to carry a concealed weapon, that means that you can carry it open. Hopefully most states don't go to the extreme of saying it has to be fully open and no part of it can be concealed, unless the legislature were to actually write that into law saying that you cannot carry a weapon and no part of it can be concealed. But as far as I know, no legislature has written a law like that. They either outlaw the practice of carrying a handgun altogether, like Texas does, or they only outlaw the practice of carrying a handgun concealed, thus meaning that you have to have a license in order to do it. But openly carrying would be okay.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm here. I was waiting on you to reply.
Okay, I was just listening. Well, I have to tell you, now I'm new to this. Okay, I have operated firearms before previously, but I do not own one. Okay, and I assume that the three of you do own firearms, and many of the listeners do own firearms. I've got to tell you that if that isn't a farce, anybody that owns a firearm, the Second Amendment should mean something, and all this other stuff is subjective. Okay, if the law means something, the law is supposed to be objective. But in these cases that we're talking about, and it, from state to state to state, it seems like it could be different, and it's up to the whim of the authority, the attending authority at the time, and it's very subjective. So every other Wednesday, except for Fridays, on an odd month, in the odd year, and then it applies, or it might not. So that's just gun owners should be screaming. This is absolutely outrageous. I'm new to this. This is absolutely outrageous. And by the way, even in Philadelphia, and we just had a crime just a week ago where a mother and a daughter were shot and killed on the sidewalk for their purses, okay, in northeast Philadelphia, and it was absolutely ridiculous. In Philadelphia, it's against the law to even have pepper spray. So I'm probably not going to own a firearm in Philadelphia. I'll probably move, but I just want to bring this up that it just seems very, it's all over the map. And because if open carry is legal and you conceal carry and it happens to accidentally be seen, then that would be like, you would think that would be covered with open carry, but it's not. So it's another reason for them to come at you, for them to harass you, for them to fine you, fee you, put you in jail, put shackles on you. If this isn't outrageous to gun owners, I don't know what is. And then now you're bringing up another issue. I thought constitutional carry means you could carry open, concealed, whatever, that constitutional carry is Second Amendment, you know, thou shalt not infringe. So this is very confusing. But also my feedback to you guys would be there at Texas Law Shield, you, Michelle, and Edwin, is an idea that if video cameras would be like a pocket witness, I would call them a pocket witness, maybe you guys could create an affiliate program with whoever manufactures these different video cameras that would support your members in case anything were to happen. Hopefully nothing would, but if it did, that would help them help you to defend them. And I appreciate you guys hashing this out, and people really need to hash it out, because this is just it's just an outrageous violation of what we understand law to be, And we do need attorneys to figure all this out, because it's like it's all it seems to be subjective, and it just, what does law mean anymore? I don't know, you know, how to, of course that's been going on for some time. But anyway, thank you, Bill, and thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Edwin, for being there. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems very subjective, and it leaves everybody open to being harassed and caught up in all sorts of entanglements.
Thank you for the call, yeah. Mark. You stay safe. Is it simply, has it become a matter, guys, to where, like, I one of the reasons I won't run for Congress is, one, I'd probably lose, but two, when they got out there and I had to start learning the phrases like, if it pleases the chairman with unanimous consent, whatever the phrase, because the semantics and the grammar of politics, if you don't know them, you don't get to play. Is that the way the law has become? Do we need lawyers like you guys to be able to wade through the thereby's and the just to understand the language so that it can all be sorted out?
Well, I think that I think it's the opposite. I think that law has always been that way, and since the central objective of politics is to make law, that the politics follow from the way the law is interpreted or the way the law has grown up. Because, you know, if it weren't for the desire to tell other people what to do, there would be no politics. So whenever you're telling people what to do, you have to make it into a law.
Right.
Since the law has always been dissected and analyzed and hypothesized, that's where you get into these issues. And in fact, you know, it's only been 8 years, or it's only been since 2008 that the U.S. Supreme Court declared the Second Amendment to be an individual right. Prior to Heller, there really wasn't a whole lot of Supreme Court decisions dictating, you know, interpreting the Second Amendment, as opposed to, for example, the First. The First Amendment, particularly the first part of the First Amendment, the freedom of speech issue, has been litigated for centuries. It's always listed as sort of the first out of many as far as your rights go, and you would think that it would be completely inviolate whenever it says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. However, it doesn't have any qualifications, but yet the body of jurisprudence has determined that there's fully protected speech, there's unprotected speech, there's commercial speech, there's speech that can be regulated in time, place, and manner, you know, and none of this is in the First Amendment, but yet it exists. So when did it become the ability of, you know, speech to regulate what, you know, advertising can say, where signs can go?
I'll tell you what, Edwin, if you guys will hold on, we're flipping into the next hour, but I don't want to cut you off just because we're flipping into the next hour. So you hold on. We'll finish up on the other side, okay? You guys hang on. Folks, we're going into the third hour on a Monday. This is Lock and Load.